We were in the middle of telling the story regarding the peril that took place regarding the kever of Rabbi Nachman years ago when the Russians decided to put up a complex of apartment buildings there, and we've discussed part of it already. Continue from where we left off. One of the Jewish leaders at the time of Klal Yisrael was a rabbi by the name of Harav Moshe Feinstein, Zecher Tzadik Livrocha, who was recognized by many Jews outside of Eretz Yisrael as the leading, or certainly one of the leading poskim, authorities on halacha. Rabbi Nachman writes in Likutei Moran that in the generations before his time, when we had the authorities, the great rabbis of the Shulchan Aruch, Rabbi Yosef Karo, Rabbi Moshe Iserlish, the leading poskim of the Shulchan Aruch, he writes that we know that these rabbis were able to perform miracles even without the knowledge of Kabbalah, or names of Hashem, things like that. And he says that they were able to do this because of the fact that a rabbi of that level of standing, where his authority is recognized by thousands of Jews on earth, his authority in halacha, in making decisions in halacha, is accepted by thousands of people on earth, such a rabbi's authority is respected in heaven also, to the degree that if he says something, even if it requires going against nature, it can happen. And Rabbi Nizal quotes the pasuk in Tehillim, Moifsav u'mishpetei fihu. Moifsav, his miracles, the miracles of Hashem, u'mishpetei fihu, and those who with their mouths declare mishpat, they make judgments on behalf of the Jewish people. For this reason, one of the major rabbis that Reb Michal Zichron Avrocha wanted to see, to consult, regarding the crisis at the time, was this great authority on Hebrew law. We were told that because of the fact that he had a problem with his heart years before that, and a pacemaker was put in, it was difficult for him to see people privately. However, if we were to go to his shul, which was on the Lower East Side in New York at the time, and be there for the tefillah, after the tefillah of Shacharis would be a time that we could approach him and speak to him for a couple of minutes as he's putting his tefillin away. So we decided if that's the only time, that's what we're going to do. So sure enough, we went early in the morning. We went to join them for the tefillah of Shacharis. And then right after Shacharis, Reb Michal Zichron Avrocha approached him as he was starting to take off his tefillin, and he mentioned that I'm a messenger from the Breslov community in Eretz Yisrael and worldwide, and there is this crisis now that the Russians have decided to build a complex of large buildings right over the area where the Jewish cemetery used to be and where Rabbi Nachman is buried today, and they've told us that either remove it from here or we cannot guarantee that it's going to remain. At that point, Rav Moshe said to him, maybe it's an opportunity. Maybe it's an opportunity to bring the bones of Rabbi Nachman to Eretz Yisrael. So Rav Michal responded, we see that Rav Nosson Zal, Rabbi Nachman's closest student, writes that he understood from Rabbi Nachman that he had many very important reasons that he wanted to be buried specifically over there in the site that was chosen for him, Misheshes Yemei Bereshis, from the time of the creation of the world, that was the spot which was chosen for him to be buried among the 30,000 martyrs there, and for the different reasons that Rabbi Nachman revealed and didn't reveal as to why it was so important for him to be there. Rabbi Moshe heard this, and he thought for a few seconds. There was a pause, and then he said, if so, then let whatever is the will of the tzaddik, the holy tzaddik, be fulfilled. Those were his words. Oy bazoy zolveren oiskefir de rotzoin von der heilige tzaddik. That based on what you're telling me, that he expressed a specific desire to be buried there, then whatever his will is, that's what should be fulfilled. And I remember Reb Michal Zichron Avrocha was completely satisfied. He seemed totally thrilled with this response. And I had thought he would say, okay, so now can you help us with trying to reach the White House or this, that? Nothing else. That was enough. And we went back to our seats. Reb Moshe was involved in taking off his tefillin at the time. We went back out to our seats. to remove our tefillin, to prepare to leave the shul. And we were talking, and Reb Michal Zichron Levracha mentioned the fact that this is what we came for, we got what we came here for. This is what we had to accomplish here. For a Poisek Hador to say those words, that may whatever is the Rotzen of the Holy Tzaddik be fulfilled, that's what we needed from him. And we spoke a little bit more, and while we were standing there, Reb Moshe, who was in the Mizrach, in the front of the shul, we were sort of middle of the shul, had completed what he needed to do, removing his tefillin, putting it away, and he started walking to leave the shul, and in order to do it, he was coming past where we were seated. So he walked past us, with his grandson, with a doctor that accompanied him at the time. He walked a few benches past us, and we watched. He turned around to come back, and he came back again to where we were seated, and approached Reb Michal Zichron Levracha, put out his hand, you know, to wish him, and he repeated the exact same statement again. May the will of the Holy Tzaddik be fulfilled. And this was like a double seal, a choysem betoy choysem. And this was, Reb Michal Zichron Levracha was completely satisfied with the results of this meeting. We mentioned in the previous session that we had gone to see the Lubavitcher Rebbe, Zichron Levracha, and after several days, we were told that his advice was that the person that we need to go see is Rabbi Pinchas Teitz of Elizabeth, New Jersey. He's the one who can help us. And I mentioned before briefly who this person was, a student of the Ragatshavra of the Ur Sameach, and a great Talmud Chacham, and also a person who built Yiddishkeit in a city in New Jersey at that time, starting from nothing. Mikvahs, yeshivas, shuls, everything, kashrus. And he also had a very, very strong affinity for the Jews in Russia. He traveled to Russia 2-3 times a year, and he was able to speak Russian. He was born in Riga, if I recall, and lived in Russia for a period of time. And on his trips to Russia, he would try to bring in whatever Yiddishkeit he could. He would bring in books. He actually published a calendar in Russian, with all the Jewish holidays for the Jews there. He published a siddur at one time. He would bring in knives for a moel, for a shochet. And he had also made contact with some of the Russian officials at the time. The minister of culture, there was no minister of religion in Russia at the time, since religion was unacceptable. But they had a minister of culture who sort of included whatever religion still existed in Russia at the time, and we called him to see if we could come to see him and about an important matter, and he said, sure. He gave us an appointment, we came, and Reb Michal Zichron Levracha related to him briefly the story that we received word from the woman who lives in the house. In the backyard of her house is found Rabbi Nachman's gravesite, that she's been informed together with her neighbors that the houses there are going to be removed and replaced with large 9-story apartment buildings. And Reb Michal said, the Russians have made it clear, if we agree, they will help to have the bones of Rabbi Nachman removed and shipped to Israel or to wherever we want. Otherwise, they cannot guarantee that it will not be harmed in the process of putting up these large buildings. Rabbi Teitz listened carefully, and he said, I hear what you're saying. Naturally, I need to check this out, number one, to see if this is really true. I have my people in Russia. He had a special person that he worked with in Moscow at the time, and he said, I'll contact him to go, to have him travel to Kiev, to Uman, to speak to the locals there, to go into the municipality, to check with the city authorities, to see if this is valid. And I understand that this is important. I'll have him get on it right away. Give me a day or two and be in touch, and then I'll be ready to talk. Sure enough, he did his checking, he contacted his people, he had them go, and within a day or two afterwards, we came to see him again, and he said they confirmed exactly what you're saying, that the people have been contacted, the area is being prepared for this major construction project, and in the municipality also, they confirmed this. Now the question is what to do? And Rabbi Teitz told us, I have experience already with the Russians. I know of other places where they said that certain holy places will not be touched, and we left and came back a few months later to see that the place was totally eliminated. Cemeteries that were replaced with parks, where there was no way anymore of identifying where, what, anything was. So even if they say that they're not going to harm it, we can't rely on them. Now, at this point, Rabbi Teitz said, let me share with you something very interesting. He pulled out a drawer of his desk, and he pulled out a letter on White House stationery, stationery of the White House, and he said, let me read this to you, and I'll tell you what this is about. And this letter was written by one of President Jimmy Carter's aides. His name was Robert Lifshitz, who was Carter's representative to the Jewish community, his aide, his advisor on Jewish issues and other things. And he told us that when Carter was running for the presidency of the United States, the other candidates that were running with him were much more respected by the Jewish community and the Jewish leaders at the time. The heads of the Jewish community were positive that there's no chance in the world, pretty much, that this Jimmy Carter is going to become president. He's from Atlanta, Georgia. He was a pastor at one point, a preacher, and he has peanut farms. They pretty much had crossed him off the list as anybody to pursue in terms of being the one who's going to win the seat in the White House. And they were pretty much catering only to the other candidates, trying to make good connections with them so that when they would take over the presidency, they'd be in a good position of influence. Rabbi Teitz said, I felt that nobody knows. Who knows the heart of Hashem? Who knows what reasons why Hashem has put somebody into a position of power? I felt that I have no right to eliminate him, to cross him off the list. And sure enough, I extended an invitation to him, as to the other candidates, to come and visit our community. Rabbi Teitz had a group of wealthy businessmen, a builder's community at the time, and he made it clear, he sent the message to the representative in the White House at the time, saying we're inviting this presidential candidate to come to meet with our leaders here, and we'll prepare an appropriate gathering for him with the media present to show that the Jewish community is paying respect to this potential presidential candidate. He said, sure enough, he came, and there were pictures taken at the time. In fact, in the biography of Rabbi Teitz that was printed a few years after he passed away, there's a picture there seeing Jimmy Carter with a yarmulke and meeting with Rabbi Teitz at the time. And he said that this was something outstanding because of the fact that no other city, pretty much, no other Jewish community extended this invitation. So shortly afterwards, I received this letter from the White House thanking us for the warm hospitality and for the professionalism and how this was done with the media and everything. And in the letter, they wrote that should you ever need to call on us for anything, the door will always be open to you. Signed, Robert Lifshitz, speaking on behalf of the president. Rabbi Teitz said to Rabbi Michal, Zichron Avrocha, this letter has been in my drawer for a number of years. I'd never had a reason to use it. Who knows, maybe this letter has been prepared for Reb Nachman. Those were his words. And listening to this, hearing this Litvish Rosh Yeshiva, leader of a community of American Jews, hearing him speak that way, I remember at the time it was like a little bit shocking to hear him say, maybe this letter was prepared years before for Reb Nachman, for this crisis. Now the question is, though, how do we present this to Jimmy Carter? How do we present this to this Robert Lifshitz, who is not a religious Jew by any means, a very assimilated Jew? I don't remember who made the suggestion, but somehow the name of Rabbi Aryeh Kaplan, Zichron Avrocha, was mentioned as being a person, a world-class person, who, with incredible understanding, he was written up in Who's Who in Physics in the United States, and also a tremendous Talmud Chacham, a genius. Maybe let's go see him to see if he can offer any advice. So sure enough, we contacted him at the time. He was living in Borough Park, small, relatively simple apartment. Came in and told him the whole story again. And I remember Rabbi Kaplan, Zichron Avrocha, right away burst out laughing. And he said to Reb Michal, Zichron Avrocha, what do you think, Reb Michal? You think Reb Nachman is just in Mea Sharim or in... Reb Nachman is an international, world-renowned figure. He's written up the great outstanding writers, Martin Buber, Elie Wiesel, people that Jimmy Carter, that the secular world knows about, have written about him. Encyclopedia Judaica, he said, bring me the volume, he said to me at the time. And I don't remember whether he had it in his house or had to go to a neighbor or something and brought the Encyclopedia Judaica at the time, which had 11 pages on Rabbi Nachman of Bratslav. And he started showing this to Reb Michal, Zichron Avrocha. And Reb Michal's looking at this, and saying, wow, wow, you know, like he didn't realize this point at the time. And Rabbi Kaplan says, let me start working on this. He takes out his manual typewriter at the time. This is before the age of computers, and takes an encyclopedia again and right away looks up the longitude and latitude of where Uman is exactly on the Ukrainian map. He wants to make sure they're going to know exactly where he's talking about, no mistakes here. And he starts preparing a presentation that this world-renowned figure, who is respected, authors like Martin Buber, Elie Wiesel have written about him, etc., and now this shrine is in jeopardy of being destroyed and just eliminated for no real reason, something that can be avoided. And asking for the President of the United States, who is scheduled to be meeting with the leader of Russia at the time. This was just a few weeks after that, was when there was going to be the first meeting that had taken place in years. This is during the Cold War era, when the leader of the United States of the free world was going to be meeting with Leonid Brezhnev, the leader of Russia, in Vienna for a Vienna summit. And Rabbi Kaplan said this might be an opportunity, that if the White House accepts this, that would be a time when they get together to discuss things like strategic arms limitations. There's all kinds of other things that are talked about under the table, you know, before. And Remichel said to the Russians, what is a grave? A grave is like a cat. They can offer you, want a grave? We'll give you 1,000 graves. No problem. There's nothing that's of major importance to them at the time without any religious beliefs. So they felt that this was mamish a window, literally a window of opportunity. Sure enough, Rabbi Kaplan prepared a presentation, 3 pages or so, a map of the Ukraine pinpointing exactly where Uman is, a very short bio of Rabbi Nachman, and exactly what he felt was needed. And again, I saw that Rabbi Michal was positive that we left there with exactly what we needed. Nothing more. From there, we took this presentation back to Rabbi Teitz, Zichron Avrocha, who looked it over and nodded. This is exactly what's needed. And he thought a little bit, and he understood that he has to put his cover letter on this. And he said to Rabbi Michal, Zichron Avrocha, at the time, I'm going to do something now, but I'm doing this on condition you're not going to tell anybody what I'm writing here, because what I'm writing is a little bit of, it's not the whole truth. But it has to be presented this way. And he began his letter with the words, academics from all over the world have contacted me when they became aware of this potential crisis, this potential catastrophe, that a respected, an internationally renowned genius, you know, that his gravesite is about to be obliterated, destroyed. And he wrote that reminding them of the offer they had made when they came to his community years before. This letter was being addressed to Bob Lifshitz and saying, please, this is an opportunity to do something on behalf of the Jewish people which will never be forgotten, which will be documented in history to the credit of the President of the United States. And sure enough, he said to Rabbi Michal Zichron Livracha at the time, be mispalel, you daven, I'll daven. We hope Hashem is leading this in the right direction. We hope that if the Hashgacha, the incredible fact that we see that this meeting is about to take place, that these world leaders who haven't met for generations are coming together now, maybe this is an opportunity. We'll see. Let's see what the response is. He sent this off at the time to Bob Lifshitz, and we'll see first what he'll speak to the president, see if he's willing to take this with him to Vienna. Sure enough, within a couple of days, the response came back from this Robert Lifshitz saying, okay. The president has agreed to attempt to try to include this in the things that are going to be presented over there, and we'll see what happens. In the interim, I don't remember exactly at which point in time, but parallel to this, one of the other people that we had gone to see was Rabbi Moshe Scherer, who was the president of Agudas Yisrael, who was also a person who had major contacts with the White House, with the American government. And when we went to see him at the time, he heard about the crisis. He took us in right away. He heard the problem. And he said, let me see what I can do about this. And I remember we went to see him on a Thursday around noontime. 1 o'clock was the appointment. We spent about 30 minutes with him. He was very quick, took notes, wrote down the details. And he said, let me get to work on this. And I remember thinking, after we left, that it's Thursday afternoon, tomorrow's Friday, then there's Shabbos, then there's Sunday. Hopefully, Monday morning, he'll be able to start addressing, dealing with this. We traveled from downtown Manhattan back to Brooklyn, where I live, and I remember trying to lay down to rest a little bit because the days were starting very early and a lot going on at the time. And then I remember the phone ringing by my bed, picking it up. This is Moshe Scherer. Take down this information right away. You have a meeting tomorrow, 9 o'clock in the morning, in Washington, D.C. You're going to be meeting with the State Department, the Russian desk. You're going to be meeting with three people. William Faraday, the other one was, I think, Robert Byrd, B-Y-R-D, and a third person, he mentioned the names. You have to go to this and this building and write down this code. When you come to the building, they're going to ask you at the desk down to security. It's going to want to know this code information, which will tell them that you have a meeting scheduled, and you'll go see them. I couldn't believe this. This was in a matter of like 2 hours that he had set up this meeting to Washington, D.C., the State Department. Sure enough, the next morning is Friday. This is Erev Shabbos. Baruch Hashem got there, went to the State Department, went to security, gave them the code, came there. These three people were there at the time. Spoke to them for about a half hour. I believe Reb Michal Zichron Levracha did not go because he understood that this was going to be in English. He felt that it wasn't necessary for him to meeting, and sure enough, spoke to them, told them everything. They sort of said there isn't that much that they can do, that they can offer. The only thing they said is if and when you go to the Ukraine, this is Russia, but the Ukrainian portion of Russia, the United States does not have an embassy in Kiev at the time. What they had was like an attaché. And they gave me the name of this person and his contact information. If you're going, let us know, and we'll send a telex in advance to let them know that you've met with us and to try to see what they can do to help. What Reb Moshe Scherer did not tell us was that he had also contacted his buddy, his good friend, Robert Lifshitz. He had also contacted him parallel to Rabbi Teitz and spoken to him regarding this matter. This was something that I only found out years later, maybe 15 years later, at a meeting that we'll discuss in Yitz Hashem in the next session. Again, the thread that continues throughout this whole story is seeing incredible Hashgacha Proti, the timing, the individuals that played a role, and as we'll see later, exactly to what degree this mission ended up being a success. That here's a situation where world leaders got together to discuss their issues, strategic arms limitations, other things. Reb Michal Zichron Levracha used to say, what is a diplomat? A diplomat is a person who, what he means, he doesn't say, and what he says, he doesn't mean. That very little of what goes on in their interactions is truthful. We see right after that summit, both continued doing whatever they were doing before. There wasn't any major change. The only thing that remained, that came out of that meeting was that the kever of Rabbi Nachman was allowed to remain, that it wasn't destroyed. We should be zeicher that the same Hashgacha Proti that played a role at that time in carrying this mission through to its successful completion, we should be zeicher to see this now in our daily lives, pertaining to each and every one of our personal lives, and to Klal Yisrael, to help bring about the Gula Proti and the Gula Klali that we're waiting for, with the coming of Moshiach, the rebuilding of the Beis Hamikdash, b'mehera v'yameinu, amen v'amen.